Ladies and gentlemen, this is Tom Robb here. Now, you have joined the Klan and you all have heard of the Klan before. You know what it's about, so you think. You have seen movies and you have read magazines and you've listened to the radio to all the Hollywood stories about what the Klan is supposed to be. Most of these stories are strange, bizarre, and unrealistic. I am pleased that you have seen behind the stories and the lies and have decided to join the Klan and become involved with other white Christian men and women who have a concern for America, for our children, and who respect the Constitution and the Christian principles upon which our government was based. We do not desire to put people down, but we want to lift people up. Our desire is not to speak of gloom and doom, but to speak of hope and deliverance for our people and our children. There are many groups in America today which are working for the interest of minorities, working for the interest of non-whites. For example, there is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, more commonly known as the NAACP. They are not organized for the advancement of all people, but only for the advancement of colored people. It is a racist organization in its very name, in its conduct, and in its characteristics. It is working for the interest of Negroes. I am not against this. Nature has certainly decreed that every living thing has a right to safeguard their future. But why, ladies and gentlemen, is it that when Negroes join together to work for their interest, that they are good guys? When Mexicans or Asians join together to work for their interest, everybody applauds them as being good guys. The government applauds them, and everybody else thinks it's just wonderful, and sometimes even help to fund their efforts. But when white people gather together to uplift their nation, their children, their heritage, their future, then they are labeled by the Hollywood elite and the haters and bigots and racists of these non-white groups as being then the bad guys. We have been given a guilt trip by the media, by the schools, and unfortunately by the today's modern churches. We have been led to believe that non-white races have been held back and abused by our ancestors. In fact, we are told that these non-white races are so great that they are, we would be led to believe, responsible for the seven wonders of the modern world. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not asking for you to hate Negroes. I'm not asking you to hate Asians or Mexicans or other non-whites. I don't want you to hate them. There's no point in it to hate them. But what I am asking for you to do is to love your children. We must be willing to stick together and stand together for what we believe and for our heritage and for our culture, which has been passed down from generation to generation. Because if we do not, we will be faced with the probability that our children will one day be enslaved and will curse you in your grave. Tell me, if non-whites can be proud of their heritage, then why can't we? If non-whites can love their heritage, then why can't we love our heritage? Our race does have a right to be proud of many accomplishments it has done, from the arts to music to our morals to culture to ideals. Our form of government is something we all have a right to be proud of, and they are all gifts of our people to the world. I don't feel guilty about the things our ancestors have given the world, And I hope you do not feel guilty either. We have been told from little up that we should feel guilty that Negroes were enslaved in the South. That to make up for this guilt, we should do everything possible within our means to give them whatever they want. But I ask you, did you ever own a slave? I know I didn't. Have you ever mistreated Negroes or other non-whites? I know I have not. I do not owe them a thing. In fact, my ancestors were not living in this country during the time of slavery. Yet you have been told that you owe them some kind of debt. But how much do they want? And how long are you going to have to pay? The Negroes and other non-whites in this country have benefited greatly from the generosity of white Christian people. That is why they are still coming here by the droves to this country, because of the benefits that they can receive here in this white nation. They have been given food stamps and welfare, aid to dependent children, public housing, health care, and education. In fact, many illegal aliens demand that they be given free public education, paid for by our tax dollars. None of the so-called minorities in this country or other white countries have suffered the hardships that their people endure in their own countries. And the non-whites in their own countries get none of the benefits of the non-whites living in white Christian nations. But instead of being thankful, they demand more and more and more. While you, the white taxpayer, suffer the terrible burden of having to support them. How much are you going to give those who are so ungrateful? Instead of returning your generosity with thanks, they return it with hatred. Because that is where the real hatred exists. The real hatred does not lie within the Klan. The real hatred lies within those who live for the destruction of our people, and no one else, regardless of race, is safe in their ghettos. Recently, while in Philadelphia, I parked my car in an underground parking lot. Here was a little Negro girl, well secured in a little wire cage, and a drawer would extend out to receive the money and give change. You all have seen that at gas stations, etc. I am sure that you probably have seen this before, as I said. But now, she wasn't in there, mind you. She was not in that cage behind all that reinforced steel to protect her from some evil Klansman. No, she was not behind the bars to protect her from Tom Robb, who she might have heard was in town. No, she was behind the bars to protect her from other Negroes. The hate of her own kind. That, my friend, is real hate. That same condition exists in scores of ghettos, housing projects, and the dark and dangerous concrete jungles that exist in most cities. Is it wrong to speak about these things? Is it wrong to talk openly and honestly about these issues? My white brothers and sisters, you are people who are really concerned about the future of your children. That is why you joined the Klan. Who else in America is able to endure the lies and the misconceptions while proudly bringing a message of hope to our people? Tell me, do your local politicians speak out for the interest and welfare of our people? Does your neighborhood school teachers, do they speak out for the welfare of the white children in the school? Does your preacher or any preacher you know of speak out for the heritage and the future of white people? I think we both know the answer. None of them will speak out in defense of white Christian people. They are all afraid. They are, as the Bible says, wolves in sheep's clothing. They are so busy trying to defend the interests of minorities in order to prove that they are not some sort of evil racist that they never have time or the courage to defend little white children. They are so busy trying to fake their Christianity that they have turned their back on your family. Now, according to the stereotype that you hear about, I am supposed to weigh about 400 pounds, be about 6'5", have tobacco juice running down my chin, have an enormous beer belly, have old smelly clothes on, and just really hate Negroes. I should be a real dirty rat. But ladies and gentlemen, we all know that the American people have been lied to about the Klan. Although there have been some in the past who have called themselves Klansmen, does not necessarily mean that they are representatives of what the Klan really is. We know that there have been those who have called themselves Klansmen who have not lived up to the nature, character, integrity, and spirit of the ideals of those noble Klansmen who rolled the hills of the South in the mid-1860s and early 1870s. In order to rid the land, they rolled us those hills in order to rid the land of carpetbaggers, scallywags, and federal troops that occupied their southern homeland. But now, ladies and gentlemen, even in this year now, as we dawn into a new millennium and a new century, we see carpetbaggers, scallywags, and federals coming out of Washington, D.C. once again. They have made it their quest to bring white Christians under the heel of non-white authority. Not just in the South, but in the North, the East, and the West. I know that there will always be someone who says, well, we were all immigrants at one time. What's wrong with letting Mexicans, Asians, Negroes, Jews, and other non-whites into this country? But it's a worldwide phenomenon. Our brothers and sisters in Australia and in our ancestral homelands of Europe face the same anti-white plague upon their nation also, by leaders and government officials who have also betrayed them. And so in this country, we are told, well, what's wrong with letting illegal aliens or Mexicans or Asians or Negroes or others into this country? Because they say we were all immigrants at one time. But my friends, the difference between immigrants now and immigrants of years gone by is, as Clara Booth Luce said, who was Clara Booth Luce. Her husband was a founder of Time magazine, and she was ambassador to Italy and was elected or nominated as the ambassador of the year. And while she, this very notable, highly respected woman who had now passed away, said while speaking at a college in Florida in the late 1980s, she said that the immigrants in the previous day were all a common people. They shared a common faith. They had a common set of morals. They had a common heritage. They had a common culture. They were, as she says, one people. But they were not aliens. And today, we have an alien culture, an alien faith, an alien set of morals, and an alien heritage inflicting itself upon our nation. The United States was founded as more than just a group of pilgrims looking for a new location to build a church. They were white Christian Europeans. They founded a new European country on another continent with their Christian principles as a building block to build a successful government and society. Immigrants today share none of the common ties that early immigrants shared. Those today are alien to the concepts of early America and her founding fathers. And they are alien to what America will be once again. Sometimes, or rather something terrible has happened to America. You can see it when you turn on the television set, when you look at the magazines and newspapers, when you listen to the radio. Everywhere that you turn, you can see the barrage of anti-white propaganda that is being funneled into our children's lives. Where will it all end? At the present rate, the kind of America that your children and their children will inherit is not the kind of America that your ancestors left you. Let's look at a couple examples to impress upon your mind exactly what I mean. I'm holding here in my hand a copy of a newspaper. We may be able to show it here up on the screen for those who may be having video. It is a queer publication called the Windy City Times. And here is another called the Philadelphia Gay News. These are only two newspapers that represent hundreds of such weekly newspapers in the country. Almost every large city has at least one and sometimes two or three queer publications. They're becoming a powerful voice in politics, as you, I'm sure, already know. Homosexuality is growing throughout the nation. And today there is a concerted effort to make it against the law to discriminate against homosexuals. What this means, for example, is that if a queer applies for a teaching position at your local school, then a school board will be forced to hire them or else face discrimination suits and civil rights suits. The same goes for your church or your daycare center that teaches your little children, or extracurricular activities your children may be involved in, such as baseball or basketball, Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts. Everywhere we look, we can see the media trying to desensitize our youth into believing that it is normal to be a homosexual. But if queer organizations have their way, their blatant homosexual lifestyle and relationships and activities on TV and in the movies, then we are facing doom for sure. Larry Kramer, the founder of ACT UP, a very large militant queer group which is active in the United States and in Canada, said recently, quote, "To make a movie in which two lovers never kiss or touch each other is a lie." He is calling for Hollywood to produce movies and television programs with explicit homosexual sex in them. And we see this happening today in movies. And we see it happening even on television and even on prime time television. He believes it would have a widespread appeal. Queer groups try to recruit children by handing out leaflets to children coming out of schools. One flyer distributed outside of an elementary school in Massachusetts even had a gay sex hotline number on it. When parents got angry about it, the queer group said that the young children should be taught that they are normal if they think they might be gay. And in another school, a program prepared for the kids inside their own auditorium. Hot, Sexy, and Safer Incorporated is the name of this program. Hot, Sexy, and Safer Incorporated features its creator Susie LaDapone in a sizzling sex education and AIDS prevention class which endorses homosexuality. And the liberal United Way has granted $40,000 to help place books and homosexual themes into schools. Churches have grown soft on the issue of homosexuality, just as they've grown soft on the issues of race mixing. They are afraid of losing their tax-exempt status, and so they often are giving in to the queers to keep a few extra bucks in the church offering baskets. At a recent conference of 2000, church women in Minneapolis representing mainline denominations, attendees invoked the blessings of the goddess of Sophia and performed a lesbian milk and honey ritual in place of the Lord's Supper. Now, I do not know what a lesbian milk and honey festival is or how it is conducted. Dolores Williams, professor at Union Theological Seminary in New York, told the group, "I don't think we need a theory of atonement at all." She made fun of the crucifixion of Christ and gathered with the others while 100 women raised a rainbow flag celebrating, quote, "the miracle of being lesbian, out, and Christian," unquote. Money to sponsor such events comes straight from small, unassuming churches who are unaware of the conference's gay agenda. Some are aware and some just don't care. And many, many people contribute to churches and to offering baskets that funnel their offerings to these type of programs. You need to check where your offering is going at your church service. God and His laws are becoming irrelevant to many churches. Their only worry is to keep the money coming in while doing some type of cosmetic good for the community. They never actually take a stand for our people. Is this the type of future you want for your children? I don't think so. But if we don't take a stand against it, if we don't keep pushing onward with hope and deliverance for America, then this is exactly what we are going to have. But only many, many, many times worse. I know some of you are saying that this will never happen. But how many of you listening to me today remember the time when people were saying that we would never have integrated schools? In fact, if in 1960, if I would have said that someday we would have integrated schools throughout the South, you would have said, "You're crazy, it will never happen." Even in the North, many people have said, "It will never happen." If I would have said that preachers and politicians, even in the South, will be bowing and scraping before the demands of non-whites, you would have said, "Never in America, never in the South, never in Dixie." You would have called me a fool. Yet this is exactly what has happened. In fact, in many of the churches, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, not only is mixed marriages permitted, but it is actually encouraged. Many churches who one time stood against race mixing and interracial marriage are now actually performing such in their own auditoriums. Billy Graham, for example, is a great promoter of integration. And during a speech of his, of a crusade he held in Hawaii a number of years ago, Billy Graham said Christ was not white like you or I, nor was he black like the African, but that he was a mixture of the two. The churches seem to be at the forefront of the destruction of America. And I want to specify that these churches no longer stand on Christian principle, but rather on Judeo-Christian principles. The teachings of Christ has been diluted by Jewish teachings, which are based upon the Jewish Talmud. My white brothers and sisters, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about the fact that things have changed in your own schools, in your own churches, and your own society, and those things that you love and hold dear has been altered and changed? The full name of the Talmud that I mentioned a moment ago, based upon the Jewish Talmud, The full name is called the Babylonian Talmud. That is why the Apostle Paul turned in your Bible to the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 14. And you'll see where the Apostle Paul warned us that we should be wary of Jewish fables. It is these Jewish fables which have penetrated the Christian churches today. And yet many people, even Klansmen, thinking they are helping God by donating and tithing to their local church, without even knowing it, are financing our own destruction. If they don't stand up for, if the church that you are attending, if it does not stand up for white Christian America, then they do not deserve your offerings. The April 9th, 1990 edition of Time magazine tells us that in only 60 years, the white race will be a minority in America. And it goes on to say that in the 21st century, which isn't very far off, in fact, we are in it now, Time magazine says non-whites will become the new majority and will change everything in our society, from our culture, it will change our standards, it will change our morals. Another magazine titled Nation's Business, published by the United States Chamber of Commerce in their July 1988 edition, states that of all the people in the American workforce, which at that time was 117 million, only 45% are white males. And that within 10 years, that's 1998, we've already passed that now, by 1998, it will drop to only 39%. Not only that, but all new people entering into the workforce between now, that was written in 1988, and the year 2000, which we are already past, only 15% will be white males. Now hear me clearly. Nation's Business, published by United States Chamber of Commerce in July 1988, stated that the year that we are in right now, being the year 2000, and we're near 2002 when this is recorded, only 15% of people entering the workforce will be white males. While it is true that there will be a great increase of white females in the workforce, that overall presence will be undermined by their overall presence will be undermined by so many non-whites, and white women entering the workforce may find that they are being exploited, as many, many do find that is exactly what is happening to them. Due to the insane economic policies of this nation and the control that the privately owned Federal Reserve Bank has over us, we see this happening today upon our nation. Most white women aren't entering the workforce into stimulating careers that they enjoy. Women who feel that they would like to have a career, own their own business, or specialize in something of interest to them should not be hindered, and should be afforded the same opportunities as men. We do not believe that women should be held back in some type of social engineered battle of between men and women. But what we are saying is that women should not be required to get up, drop their children off with strangers at a daycare, and punch a time clock before they head off to the assembly line. The careers most of our women are in are not rewarding careers, but jobs forced upon them by the economy. And the reason is because one income will not support a household any longer. In fact, for many people, two incomes will not even support their family. The government takes your hard-earned money and sends it to third world nations while your family wonders why they just can't seem to get ahead or get out of debt. I realize that with the nation's business institutions the great change happening in the racial complexion of America, there will be some people that will say it will never happen. I've had people tell me that it will never happen. And then I know there are people that just don't care. They don't care because they figure they'll be dead by that time. They'll be dead in a few years. They won't have to suffer the terrible conditions that are in our nation's future. And so they just don't care. But what about their children? What about your children? What about your grandchildren and their children, and the children born after them? Thomas Paine, who was one of our great founding fathers, was the editor of a local paper, and he explained one time that he went for a walk outside of the city of Philadelphia. And he walked along a small country road, and he came across a Quaker man standing on the front porch. And at the knee of this Quaker man was a beautiful little girl, about 3 years of age, according to Thomas Paine. And Thomas Paine and the man began to talk. They began to discuss the conditions with Great Britain and the fact that many people were clamoring for independence. The Quaker man, knowing who Tom Paine was, sneered at him and said to Tom Paine, he said, "All that I ask is that there will be peace in my day." So here this was, this man, Thomas Paine, this great patriot. And here was this man, this Quaker. And he looked at Tom Paine, recognizing who he was. This man who wrote the book Common Sense and who wrote many writers instrumental for our independence from Great Britain. He knew Tom Paine. He knew Tom Paine was this radical, a person in favor of rebellion against tyrants. And this Quaker man, evidently feeling self-righteous, in favor of some kind of illusion of peace, he looked at Thomas Paine and he sneeringly said, "All that I ask of God is that there be peace in my day." But Thomas Paine looked at him and said, "A man that truly loves his children would not say, 'All that I ask is that there be peace in my day.' A man who truly loves his children will say, 'If there must be trouble, let it be in my day so that my children can live in peace.'" Ladies and gentlemen, I know you love your children, and that is why you join the Knights. But if you truly love your children and your children's children, if we really love our people, our heritage, our laws, our Christian faith, and all of our children yet unborn, should not we become involved in an effort to preserve this nation for them? Let's stop and think for a minute. Let's look at the war for America's independence. Can we honestly think that when those young men went off to war, leaving their farms and the stores behind, everything that they had worked for, leaving the arms of their loving wives and their children chasing after them down the lane, not realizing if daddy would ever come home? Do we really believe that he said to his dear wife, "Just think, honey, I'm going to fight for independence. And perhaps if we win this war, someday we'll be a great country where and freedom for homosexuals, and they can have their rights to marry and maybe even adopt children." Do we really think that when those young men went off to war and they said goodbye to his little daughter, he patted her on the head and he hugged her in his arms? Do you really think he says, "Just think, little dear, I'm going off to war and I might die in this war, dear. But I want you to know, I want you to know that because of my sacrifice, because I might have to shed my blood and die in a battlefield, I want you to know that someday you're going to have the right to kill unborn babies in your womb before they are even born." Is that wonderful? Do we really think that when they went off to war and they kissed their wives goodbye, do we really think that as they explained to their children the reason why daddy went off to fight for freedom, the reason why daddy might never come back, do we really think that while they were shedding those tears of sorrow as daddy walked off to war, perhaps knowing they may never see him again, do we really think that as he walked down that lane past his cornfields, looking back at his homestead, looking back at his family and his children running after him, do we really think that they did that because they wanted their children the right to marry the children of slaves, to marry Negroes, to be turned gay, or to kill the unborn? Of course not. The men of the American Revolution did not leave everything behind to perhaps die alone in some battlefield so that queers could march through our streets in America, so their future daughters could kill their unborn babies, so that the churches would bless and endorse interracial marriage, and that the women of the American Revolution didn't stay behind to raise their families, to run the family farm or the shop, or to volunteer to care for the sick and wounded, to nurse the soldiers back to health, to sacrifice so much for their future children. They did not do this so that their future daughters could one day punch a time clock, leave their babies behind for someone else to care for, so that illegal non-white immigrants could invade our shores and eat up our tax dollars, so that our right to keep and bear arms would be stolen from us and from our children, would then become enslaved, or that our Christian faith would be stricken from our schools and from our government. No, our Christian European forefathers never sacrificed so much for these insidious evils. They gave their lives to ensure that their descendants, to ensure that you and me and our children and our grandchildren would grow up in a Christian society ruled by God-fearing men and women. That is what America was, and that is what made America great. America will not survive under these conditions we see happening today. Your children will not have a future. Even our enemies, those white people who point their finger at us with ridicule and hypocrisy, we love their children also. But their parents are selling them out. And if their children are to have a future, it will be because we have grasped the importance of what our forefathers died for. I want to commend you for your decision to join the Knights, because for you to join, you had to jar yourself from the rut you have been in. You had to do some independent and courageous thinking. We have been taught to be lazy, to let other people make our decisions. We have been taught to let the government take care of our temporal needs, and the churches to take care of our spiritual needs. But ladies and gentlemen, the sad fact is that those we have placed over us to guide and direct us have betrayed us and have betrayed the trust we put in them. But now you have stepped forth from the crowd and have chosen to take control of our fate and to take control of our destiny. And yet together, we must resolve that if they intend to enslave us, then we must resolve that we will resist. It is not my intention to point fingers at Negroes, Asians, Mexicans, or Jews. It is we who have lost our way. America has lost its way somewhere in the darkness of the last century. And unless we regain the sense of racial pride that was possessed by our ancestors, then America will be lost, and America will be destroyed, and our children will be the prey of the aliens that now control the streets of Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles, New York, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., and every other metropolitan area in this country, and which is spreading to the towns in cities throughout America. If you think you have problems now, just wait until the minorities are the majority. Because their people will not be as loving towards you as our people have been towards them. The white color of your skin will make you an instant target of their rage. As you take these first steps in the nights, you might be saying, I love America. I love our children. I love our Christian faith. I love our heritage. And I will do all within my power to ensure that my children and my grandchildren will not suffer under this terrible plague that is mounting upon America every day. You have taken this step and have joined forces with other men and women who share this same hope, the same ideal, the same dream. Men and women networking throughout the country, relying upon the fact that others throughout the country, not just in your town, but throughout the country, a network of people is taking a message of hope and deliverance to America. At last, you have something to do about it. At last, you have the opportunity to finally do something about the flood pouring into our nation. I know it will not be an easy task, but I firmly believe that Jesus Christ, who has guided our people over the years, who gave us this great land, and has blessed us with both the blessings of earth and the spiritual blessings that come upon those that serve Him, that He will guide us and strengthen us in this great struggle for the very spirit and the very soul of America. Because of your decision to join the Knights, you have demonstrated your love for America and your children, and the kind of America that you want them to inherit. What will it be for America, my white brothers and sisters? What will it be for America? Will it be Christ and liberty, or will it be race mixing and chaos? I do want to caution you at this point that there are many groups calling themselves Ku Klux Klan, just as there are many churches calling themselves Christians, although they disagree on many things. Groups are able to do this because the name Ku Klux Klan is in the public domain. Just like the name, for example, Community Church. However, the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan is the largest Klan organization in America and is national in scope, with a network of Christian patriots throughout the country and even in other nations. We are growing every day because the Knights has a professional, workable program that people can understand and that the American people can relate to. We receive, for the most part, very positive media coverage. The media still, however, likes to point their main focus on tiny groups who try to live up to the Hollywood image of the Klan by committing some sort of illegal act or just plain acting stupid. This type of behavior actually makes a mockery out of the real Klan. The Knights of the Ku Klux Klan is a law-abiding group of Christian men and women who embody the principles and ideals of the original Ku Klux Klan. We're the only group who can use the original name, Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. All other groups add something in front of their name. Sometimes these groups consist of good people with honorable intentions, and sometimes they don't. Following are the main 10 points of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. We would like you to ponder them as we list them for you. Number one, we want to see all immigration stopped. We simply cannot be the recipient of all third world people. We cannot afford to take them all into America. And you cannot afford to house, feed, and clothe them as well as their offspring. You have a hard enough time taking care of your own family, I am sure. Number two, why should you pay to support someone's drug habit? Good question. We believe there should be drug testing for all welfare recipients and anyone receiving any type of public assistance. We realize that all people, or families who find themselves in need of help are not drug abusers. Everyone getting help from the government is not a drug abuser. We understand that. There are many people who need help on occasion, and they are not drug abusers. But because of the insane economic policy in this country, some families are forced to accept public assistance, as I said, to feed their families. But there are some of those people who do use drugs, and we should not have to support their drug habit. If they are taking drugs, using drugs, they should be. We should not be forced to support their drug habit, and they should not be receiving public assistance. Three, we believe that laws should be enacted that would protect that would protect American jobs, land, and businesses from being bought by foreigners. They should understand that America is ours and that we will not sell any part of it to foreign nations or foreign people. American industry and American property should be sold only to Americans. Four, we support protectionism. It will protect American workers from foreign competition. American industry and American workers should be protected from cheap foreign goods manufactured by those who will work their families for only about 70 cents an hour and live in shacks. I am not saying that the goods which come from these other countries are poor quality. That's not the point. The point is the American worker cannot compete with workers in foreign countries who are only being paid 50, 60, and 70 cents an hour. The first and only priority of a government, our government, is to protect and look out for its citizens, our citizens, not the citizens of the world, but the citizens within our own borders. Our government is to protect our interests and serve our needs and our people, and not people living in Bangladesh or some other third world country. The Knights of the Ku Klux Klan makes a commitment to America first. White people and other nations should make their country their priority for a worldwide white union and fellowship. The November criminals, those men and women that we elect in November, have made the building of industry and the strengthening of third world countries and their workers more important than American industry and American workers. We want to see NAFTA repealed, and we want to see GATT, General Agreement of Trades and Tariff, Worldwide Free Trade, appealed. We read in the news continually of manufacturing plants closing down and going to third world countries. Number five, we want to see an end to affirmative action. No matter what you call it, it is still discrimination against white people. We should be worried about quality in America and not trying to appease some sort of programmed guilt. Affirmative action destroys excellence and quality. People should be hired, fired, promoted based upon their ability, not because we feel sorry for them. And I want to add that we're not saying that there should be special protection for jobs for white people. We believe that our people can compete on an equal basis. We don't believe that the government should be involved in forcing companies to hire or fire anybody. The government should not be involved in that type of business. People who own businesses, people who own factories, people who own stores, and whatever else they might own, have a right to hire and promote the people they feel will be best for their company, regardless of who they are. Number six, we want to see the quarantine of all AIDS carriers in special hospitals to treat them and them alone, where there's no chance of infecting others. The public is in danger because the government is afraid to stand up to the queers. Never before in history has a government acted so slowly in the face of such a dreadful disease. AIDS carriers need to be separated and treated separately from those without the disease. This is the only way we can help stop the spread of AIDS and to keep it from infecting more people. It cost about, the last figures I have anyway, and I'm sure it has increased, these figures are old, but it cost in excess of $100,000 a year to treat someone with full-blown AIDS. And the cost factor alone could eventually bankrupt the healthcare industry. Number seven, you should not be forced to feed, clothe, and house those who will not work, but choose rather to live off of your tax dollars. Those who want assistance from the government should have to participate in a workfare program. As the Bible says, he who will not work shall not eat. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to work for your paycheck, and they should work for theirs. Number eight, if we have 305,000 soldiers to guard the borders of Germany, if we can have 43,000 soldiers guarding the borders of Korea, if we can have thousands of soldiers guarding the borders of Saudi Arabia, Somalia, and Haiti, if our government can put out this much expense and energy guarding their borders, then why can't we put some soldiers on our borders to protect our citizens from the flood of illegal aliens that are pouring into our country? If the United States wants to have a strong national defense, now let's start by protecting our land from the Mexican invasion. Let us preserve America for Americans. Now, ever since the World Trade Center, the Pentagon bombing, there has been now some effort to put soldiers on our borders. But my friends, we have been saying that for many, many, many years, and we were called extremists and haters, and now it has been shown that because of our insane policy in allowing illegal aliens or even aliens into this country, we suffered the deaths of thousands of people and put terror into the hearts of millions of people in this country. Why? Simply because the government did not listen to what we said and many other people. We need to protect our borders in order to protect our people. Number nine, we want the Federal Reserve Corporation abolished, and we want a return to constitutional money as described by our Constitution. The Constitution mandates that only Congress can regulate and coin money which is interest-free to the people. The American people are under economic conquest and they don't even know it. Many people do not realize that the Federal Reserve Corporation is just that, a private corporation run by bankers. The word federal was added to better deceive people. Thomas Jefferson, the great gentleman of Monticello, said, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their money, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of their property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers conquered. Now, my brothers and sisters, that is exactly what is happening today. Number 10, let us always remember that our founding fathers recognized our unalienable right to keep and bear arms. It's part of our right to to defend ourselves for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those courageous men of 1775 who signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776 knew full well that if American citizens were to remain free, that they had to be able to protect themselves from the attempt of tyrants to enslave them. They weren't concerned about protecting sportsmen's rights. They didn't even have such a thing back then. They were interested in protecting the right of the people to defend themselves from an oppressive government. The Knights of the Ku Klux Klan objects to all attempts by the federal government to take away your inalienable right to keep and bear arms. And let me remind you that the word inalienable means given by God, not by the government, not by the president, not by Congress, not by the Supreme Court, but by God. It is a God-given right, and it is protected by the Constitution, not given to us by the Constitution. The Constitution does not give you your rights. It protects the rights that were given to you by God. I believe that you can agree with most, if not all, of these things that I have talked about. But we cannot accomplish these things without our dedication and our unending effort. The Negroes and Mexicans and Asians and Jews are not going to watch out for you or your interests. The government isn't going to speak out for you. The nice man or woman that you elected to go to Washington, D.C. to represent you is deceiving you if you think for a moment that they're going to do what is best for you and your family. They did not go there to represent you. They went there to represent non-whites. Now, I know they don't say that, but just look at how they vote. Look at what they do. The November criminals, preachers, and educators are bowing before the demands of non-whites and homosexuals at an ever-increasing number. How much longer are the American people going to allow this to continue? Your decision to join the Knights is commendable, but now you need to dedicate yourself and your very being to white Christian revival. Your children are worth any sacrifice that is needed. You are the children of those that founded America. What will future generations say about the actions that we took in this America's darkest hour? Will they say that we accepted the challenge before us? Or will they say that we cowardly laid at the feet of those who wanted to oppress us and steal our children's future? I know that you have chosen to associate with the Knights, but it is more than that. It is white Christian revival. It is a revival of our soul and it is a revival of our soul and of our spirit. The Bible says that they, referring to our people, I believe, and we will not take time now to discuss this at length, but the Bible says that they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood that they would consider their latter end. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time that we consider what we are doing to ourselves. We are a nation void of counsel. We are a nation with no understanding. But God says, if only they understood, if only they would consider what they're doing to themselves. Well, it is time. It is time that we consider what exactly is happening to our country if we do not give it our best. As you continue your studies in the Klan and continue your efforts to awaken our people, don't let yourself become discouraged. You need to dedicate yourself. You need to be so committed that nothing will hinder you from following your convictions. Sometimes people join the Klan. They don't renew at the end of the year. They say, well, no other Klansmen in my town, no other Klansmen in my community. As you well know, that for the most part, we don't put clan men and clan women together. Most of our members prefer working straight through the national office. And in this day and age, that is best. But believe me, there are people just like you, a network of people, who can and will distribute literature and talk to their friends and talk to their neighbors. You can do that. To say that we are not in your community, you are us in your community. You are that link. You are that voice. We don't expect you to put on Klan shirts and prance around town, letting everybody see that, oh, there's the Klansman. We prefer that you keep things undercover. We prefer that you work quietly and privately. You might say like a submarine, and distribute that literature and get it into the hands of people. Work with the national office. We'll help you out in that area. You have to be dedicated to this cause, dedicated to your children. That's what we mean. When we say dedicated to the Klan or dedicated to this cause, what we're really saying is dedication to your children and their future. You must be so dedicated that even if you think you are the only one, that even if you are the only one in your community, that you're going to recognize that you have a great responsibility to take and help take a message of hope and deliverance to your community and to your state and to become part of that network nationwide. Even if everybody tells you that you are wrong, you must remain steadfast. Even if everybody you know tells you that you are wrong, you must remain steadfast like a rock. You must remain steadfast on the path that you have taken. Christ said, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." My friends, my brothers, my sisters, do not look back. It is time for white people to stick together. The righteousness we seek as a people and as a nation and the future of our children is worth our total dedication and our perseverance. Let us not look back upon the time when America thought they could escape the realities of our nation's destruction, because we cannot escape it. We know that now. It is upon us. We see it when we turn on the television. We see it when we pick up the newspapers. We see it in our communities, in our stores. The invasion is all about us. Let's think about today, and let's think about tomorrow. Let's work to pass down our heritage to our children. I know that the task seems awesome. Perhaps it may even seem impossible. And some will quickly point out the insanity that we must certainly possess. The insanity that some people say we must certainly possess to think we can change the suicidal path our people are on. But ladies and gentlemen, I firmly believe that as the living God, we can achieve the impossible. God is with us because we are on God's side. We are standing on the principles of our forefathers, that great nation America, founded and blessed by the hand of God more than any other nation of its time. And our people throughout the nations of Europe and America and Canada and Australia, God's hand has been upon them more than all these other nations. If you look throughout the world, all other non-white nations, the people live in squalor. If you look at the nations of our people, the people live in liberty. The people live in abundance. Because the hand of God, was upon our nation, our racial nation. Our nation is our people. Our race is our nation. It would be insane if we don't at least try. It is our duty to give our children a future. The same God that in 1776 handed us the torch of freedom will one day give us the torch of victory. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening to this tape, and I hope you will really stop and think about the things that I have said. Listen to the tape again. Play it for your friends and play it for your neighbors. Play it for members of your family. I ask that you dedicate yourself to America, that you dedicate yourself to the dream of our forefathers, and that you dedicate yourself to your children's future, because together we can take back America. The Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, my friends, with the hand of Almighty God upon us, with a message of hope and deliverance, is the last hope for America.